My name is John Pierce, and I'm happy to be chair of the faculty last spring. Lord knows what you were thinking, but thank you very much for doing so. I'll talk a little more about that in just a second, but we do have an agenda, so why don't we start with the approval of the agenda. This was distributed to you last week, so everyone's had a chance to read it. Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you so much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Good. Terrific. Thank you so much. Approval of the minutes. There was a concern raised with the minutes last night, as it turned out. In fact, members actually read the minutes last night. Addressed the concerns, so that was revised and included in the revised minutes that were distributed this morning. You had a chance to look at them. Any comments, issues, concerns, points of discussion about the minutes? Good. If not, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Thank you so much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Terrific. They are approved. Back to me. Thank you so much. I'm in my 19th year at the university, where I serve as program director for psychology and biopsychology. I also have been a first-year advisor since my second year here, so 17 years ago. I serve as the university's faculty athletic representative for the NCAA. I've been doing that since 2009, and I'm on the institutional review board. I've been on that since, I forget, 2003 or 2004 or so. Number of different hats. I want to thank Jean Bell. Where's Jean? We'll talk about her while she's gone. I do want to thank Jean for running in the election in the spring. It was good to have a true contest, a true selection. Jean very graciously has agreed to help me as I make the transition to the chair, which is turning out to be a considerable undertaking. So, Jean, thank you so much for doing that. I also thank Nancy Howard for her excellent work as chair of the faculty for the last 2 years. It is she who encouraged me to run, twisted my arm. I mean that literally. My shoulder still hurts. But she also has agreed to help me during this transition year. In fact, has already provided wonderful help in terms of agenda and panic moments while she works. So I do thank her. I've heard from a number of you since the election about everyday sort of concerns that we all face, especially in light of the integration that is going on. Salary issues, tuition admission issues, tuition exchange issues, contract issues, and so forth. I have heard all of those, and they will be front and center during my 2 years here to make sure faculty ideas are heard well or respected. I will finish with one point. I heard from no fewer than 3 of you to caution me not to let this position go in my head, to which I replied, too late.
Registrar at Drexel, and she's going to help us through everything in so many ways, because when Rowan acquired a medical school and Drexel, which was a traditional engineering and business school, then merged with a second campus, which was Hahnemann, which was a medical school. Got a lot of experience that we're going to need to draw on with a two-campus system integrating with Health Sciences University, so I think it's great. With some elevated roles for Kelsey and Tim and Gina and Vicky in the registrar's office. Ray Lynn from TJ, who has been helping us out before, Juanita got here, and since she's helping out, but right now she's working more on Middle States documents. The Academic Success Center, the new director is Megan Mills. She's going to be absolutely incredible, and we all know her and trust her and love her. And Erin Lucas is now the Associate Director for Learning and Writing. And we have... assistant director coming in in September, is that true?
Yes, September
18th. Okay. We tried to, you probably know this, but we've sort of reorganized so that some of the administrative staff that were in the provost office are no longer there. We've tried to move them to really customer front, student-centric offices where we needed them and we had a backlog. One of those offices was our Office of Global Initiatives, which is headed by Dr. Madeline Wilcox, who you know. So she has some additional help, and there's some changes in the office. You'll tell me if I got any of these wrong. Okay, so Erica Hanratty is now the office coordinator.
Yes.
Okay.
She's actually helping cover while Hannah is out, so she works with both international students and the City of Our students and with students for Dell Disability Services.
We have some changes in the other parts. Marielle Talante, where are you? Okay, she's now, see, she's sitting at the global table. She will be managing our short courses, so if you have an idea for a short course, that's who you will see now. And so she's taking over for Phil, who did a great job with that. We have also Lisa Phillips. Lisa, you're going to be... doing coordinating Nexus Abroad this year and after that, and Stacey Van Damme and David Loranger will be advising in the Study Abroad office, doing advising. So we're trying to get that office more fully staffed so we can serve students, because it's really complex with short courses, with our Study Abroad, with our Study Away programs, and with a lot of stuff we have there. So we are really super excited. As you probably already know, we have a new dean of the School of Business Administration, Monica Lamb. Monica, you're here, right? And Monica was the Associate Dean of Business at a very large state university in California, and did an amazing job there and started a campus in Singapore, and we're glad to have her. Philip Russell, who was the interim business dean, has now assumed a new role as Dean of Graduate Education. Philip, are you here?
Yeah.
With him last week, he has a very ambitious agenda for graduate education. That's great. A couple other things. Thank you for everybody who is participating and helping to coordinate our Nexus Maximus event next week. We're really excited. We think it's going to be a fabulous event. Also, thank you for everyone for all the work you did through this summer on some of the integration activities. We've had some. We are in this really early stage and have had an incredible amount of what we call early wins, which are program agreements. We have agreement to use chemistry equipment that we had four of our students at TJU doing research. There's just a variety of things that we've gotten that I think is great, and we'll continue to do that. The president will talk more about that. We also establish a preferred name policy for students with the registrar's office. There's a lot of students who have a legal name but do not want to be identified by that name. And up until now, that name is the name that appeared on your rosters. And it was not some students were very sensitive to that issue, and we clearly appreciate that. So now you'll see preferred names. There's a form to do that. There'll be preferred names on the rosters. But if students come to you on the first day and said, that's not how I'd like to be addressed, please let them know that there's a form so that forever that's what'll go on the roster, okay? There's a whole policy on that. I'm not going to read that to you. As you probably noticed, if you've walked around, and we're going to get a lot more on this next month when Tom Becker's back, I should thank Tom and Matt and all the people. There's a lot of new academic space. Thanks to Tom and Matt and construction crew and Mike Leonard, you could walk over to Hayward to the Fashion and Textiles Future Center, which takes up 2 floors of Hayward, and it's just inspirational. I love it. Go into the library. There is a Nexus Learning Hub there. Thanks, Jeff Ashley and Stan and everybody. It looks great. You can use it. It's fabulous. Downs Auditorium is really new looking. It's got paint. It's got carpet. It's got new furniture. It's flexible furniture. We were waiting for that to happen. It's amazing. The Raven Hill Cafeteria, if you haven't seen it, I'm not talking about the Nexus Hub downstairs. I'm talking about the cafeteria itself. All new furniture and a new teaching space in the back. What used to be that formal president's dining room is now a cool meeting and teaching space. It's absolutely, we were there yesterday. We had a meeting. It's absolutely fantastic. The Architecture and Design Center, got a brand new air conditioning system, and I just want to thank all of them for it, because there was so much heat there. It was very warm there, but it's got a brand new air conditioner, which works great, and I'm sure there's other things that Tom will talk about, and I'm giving it back to John, and we're going to introduce new people.
Tom Becker did say he will make a presentation at the September meeting, so we will hear the update at that time. Okay, as is tradition, we usually use the first faculty meeting of the semester or the year to introduce new faculty, so I've asked the deans of all of the colleges to do so. And we will start with CPS. Pam Collins could not be here, so Susan Calder is making that presentation for her.
Over here. Not new to us, but new to most of you, is our new Assistant Director for Student Success, Mara McConney, joined our office last November. Among her many accomplishments, she has given us a social media presence, and she is instrumental in, has been instrumental in establishing our newest location at Delaware County on the campus of Pennsylvania Institute of Technology. Again, not new to us, but in a new role, Laura Richland has been a longtime adjunct instructor, and she's taking on new responsibilities as our new Nexus Learning and Faculty Development Advocate. And again, some new things maybe to you guys, not necessarily to us, but this spring we introduced day classes in the School of Continuing Professional Studies. Not your day classes, but our day classes. We took our Monday through Thursday, 6 to 10 o'clock at night class, literally plugged it into a Monday through Thursday, 1 to 5 p.m. class, and they've gotten off to a great start. As I mentioned a moment ago, we are now offering classes in a third location in Delaware County, again at Pennsylvania Institute of Technology, and that's part of our nighttime program, 11 majors. This fall, we'll be introducing new opportunities for our students to receive academic credit for internships. And lastly, faculty, if you think there's something that you can contribute to our programs, please don't hesitate to contact us. Turn it over now to Mike Dreyer, Dean.
Thanks, Susan. Well, welcome back, everyone. Got the privilege to introduce 4 new faculty to our college. First, Tayshan Latner. Is Tayshan here? Tayshan got his PhD from the University of California, Irvine, in American History. And prior to coming here, he was in the Department of History at California State University in L.A. Tayshan, welcome. Next, Rush Daniel. Rush. Nope. I'll tell you about Rush, and you can say hi when you see him. He's starting as a visiting assistant professor of composition, rhetoric, and professional writing. He received his PhD from the University of Wisconsin in English Composition and Rhetoric, and prior to joining us, he was a communication fellow at the Bernard L. Schwartz Communication Institute at Baruch College in New York. So that's Rush. Josh Smicker. Josh? Yeah. Josh has joined us as a visiting assistant professor of communication. Josh received his PhD from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in Communication Studies. And prior to joining us, he was a lecturer at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Brian Hughes. Brian. Thank you. Brian has joined us as a visiting assistant professor of physics. Brian received his PhD from Texas State University in physics. And prior to joining us, he was in the physics department at the University of Texas, Rio Grande. Welcome. And with that, I'll pass it off to Barbara.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I just see that I'm now the dean of KDEC. So as of today, Ron and I change. What's wrong? So this is about the College of Architecture and the Built Environment. And I'd like to welcome our new faculty. Jeffrey Kanzler, are you here? Were you on the email list? I actually tried to find all new faculty. They might not be on the email list right now. Andrew's here, okay. Jeffrey Kanzler joins us as a new assistant professor in architecture, focusing on teaching structures in the College of Architecture and the Built Environment. He earned his Master of Architecture from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, where he also taught for several years structures courses for their broad locations in France and Spain. So he just moved here. So when you see him, welcome him on campus. Our second hire is Andrew Hart, who's right over here. He's a familiar face to several of you. And he joins us as a visiting assistant professor. We're very happy to have him on board. Andrew actually has taught for us for several years, earned his Master's of Architecture from Cornell University, and has several years of professional experience. So we're really happy to have you, Andrew. I also would like to announce that Suzanne Singletary here. Suzanne is sitting right behind me, okay. We actually have extended an appointment to Suzanne as an interim associate dean for new academic initiatives in the College of Architecture and the Built Environment. And Suzanne has actually, over the last, I would say, 10 months, developed a new MS in Real Estate Development Program, which will be launched next fall. I think that's been the fastest developed program in our college so far. So welcome on board, Suzanne.
Ron? Thanks, Barbara. We have quite a long list. We have six new names and six position changes to tell you about, so you all know who's who. You already heard about Monica. Monica's we have as the new dean of the School of Business Administration here from Cal State Sacramento. Welcome aboard, Monica. You get twice. We have two visiting assistant professors. We have Juliana, and I always mispronounce her last name, Guglielmi. Did I say that right?
Pretty good.
Awesome. That was pretty close, right? So, and in FMM, and we have Roy Wand. And is Roy in the room? I didn't see if Roy is here.
He's online.
Oh, he's online. Roy's online, and he's here from, for marketing. So those are our two visiting assistant professors. And in the SDE, we have Jonathan Spindell, who's the new program director for engineering. Here from my James Madison, where I came from. He's apparently stalking me and following me. So. And then we have two old new names, old new faces, people who have been with us that have now had different roles. Jason Kirk, if Jason's here. Was an adjunct with us, who's now a visiting assistant professor in animation. And Eric Schneider, Eric in the room. Eric was a visiting assistant professor before. It was a visiting professor, is now an assistant professor in industrial design. A couple new position changes, just so you know who's who in the college. Philip Russell, as you heard, is in a new university level position as graduate dean. Congratulations, Philip. Is Mark Sutherland still here? Mark's still here? Good. Mark is now the program director for Global Fashion Enterprises and also program director for Textile Materials Technology, TMT. So congratulations on that, Mark. Because of that move, Terry Loftus, who many of you know from up in our office, is the new manager of academic operations for the college. And Justin Appella, who isn't in the room today, he is here. Good. I didn't see you earlier. Justin from the registrar's office is our assistant dean. He started in March, actually the last day of July, February. So it was a leap year, so he only gets to celebrate an anniversary every 4 years with us. So he didn't get his 5-year pin for 20 years. So he's the new assistant dean in the college. And many of you know Beth Marriott's retired, so Yoko Wyatt is the new program director for FMM. Yoko's right there. And on the staff side, Karen Warfield retired in School of Design and Engineering, so Joanne LePent is the new administrative assistant in SDE over by Mike's office, in case any of you were looking for Mike. So I think that's all of our list. Pass it back on.
All right, thank you all. I have asked the chairs of the standing committees just to give a brief introduction about what the focus of the committee is and how it might impact faculty on a day-to-day basis. So we'll start with academic opportunities and oversight. Valerie Hansen, there she is.
Hey everybody, I am new at this chairing, so first off I just wanted to thank Rob Fryer for helping me out, getting me up to speed, and continuing to answer my questions. John just asked us to give a brief overview of this, so I won't be going through reading all of the charges. You can read those at your leisure, or you probably already have read these charges before. But I wanted to give you a quick glance at what the Academic Oversight or Academic Opportunities and Oversight Committee is and does. The best way that I've been thinking about it is that it is a forum and a conduit for communication. It's sort of the place in an academic water cooler place where you can exchange ideas and also get feedback about new courses and new programs while also working on other sort of trans-college or multi-college curricular issues. The AOC works very closely with the college education committees and also the provost's office on new programs. And the AOOC does not approve or deny courses. So if you have a new course, that's the job of the CEC in your college to do, unless it's a trans college course, in which case I'll be bringing it to you all. So that's in a nutshell. What we are up to and what we're going to be doing is to really function as that university-wide communication forum and communication space for new courses, for new programs. And as part of that, we also have a subcommittee called the Curriculum Innovation Space, which is where programs have some intellectual support to develop new programs and new ideas. Right. Sound good? Any questions?
Next is the University Academics Resource Committee, UARC, Wendy Crumpet.
Hi, everyone. As the slide says, the UARC is an advisory committee. We make recommendations about how funds are expended. There are, we do Nexus learning, study abroad. There's three subcommittees around budget advisory. We serve as a member of the Budget Advisory Committee, and we also have three subcommittees, the Library, the Art Inspector Center, and Study Abroad. And you can see I'm brand new to this. I'm still trying to figure out what it is the committee does, but in a nutshell, it's advisory. We interact with the college ARCs, so if you have issues that you want to bring forward at the college level, those representatives are also on the UARC.
Next, Stacey Van Dam, University Teaching, Learning, and Assessment Committee.
Hi, everyone. So I'll leave these up here for you to look at. The charges for UTLA are quite long. There's like 15 to 18 of them or something like that. UTLA, this is my first stint as co-chair of UTLA. I think I'm I think Susan Frostin is going to be joining me at the beginning. This is a committee that does a couple things that I think are really important. One is that it's a committee that finds out about what Middle State's requirements are and disseminates them to our campus. We work with the CECs, the CACs, and the AOC to make sure that that's going on. We support a culture of assessment on campus, and we support larger university-wide processes. So we are a committee made up of lots of faculty and the assessment advocates, and so we kind of do our work that way. Excuse me. And I wanted to talk really quickly about our goals this year. There's like four things I want to mention. First of all, keeping up assessment work. You know, we did really well with Middle State's review. We're in a really good position, so this year we're going to be working on making sure we maintain our momentum. Two, we're looking at doing a workshop in November, so keep that in your minds, especially program directors, where we talk about Nexus learning, information literacy, and writing enrichment, and how we're doing in terms of assessing those things. We're going to be working with TJU folks to talk about the merger and the implications for assessment, which is going to be really important. And lastly, keeping up with Middle States, who are already making some changes on their reporting requirements. So, that's what we're
here. Student Experience Committee, Carol Herman.
Hi. So the Student Experience Committee, we have a lot of charges, so we're subdivided into two subcommittees that meet on alternate weeks. One committee we've titled Academic Policy, and the other one the Student Engagement Committee. So the members of the committee have selected which side of that set of issues they want to be on. The Academic Policy Committee met last week, and we elected co-chairs of that, ultimately Megan Mills and myself, and the Student Engagement Committee will meet next week, and we are hoping to have a lively runoff for an election for a chair of that subcommittee. The Academic Policy Committee, you would think we have policy in place for everything, but of course the world changes on a regular basis, and so as we have more students studying abroad, as we have more students studying online, as we have more graduate students, and certainly as we integrate with Thomas Jefferson, policies will need constant update, and so the Academic Policy Committee addresses all of those issues, everything you see in the catalog under academic policy. In an advisory role, we write the policies, and then we send them upwards for approval. The Student Engagement Committee, our first event, date to be determined, will be an open forum for students to ask questions and dispel rumors about the TJU integration, and so we're looking to have a stronger set of engagement, I'll say, between some truly involved students, the student government experience, the Student Government Association, thank you, and the other students on campus who may or may not have any interaction with them at all. And we really want to welcome our new Dean of Students, Henry Humphreys, to our committee. Oh, we also have two standing obligations. One, the readmission of students who left the institution not in good standing. And two, the sending of those students away who are not in good standing. They're the fun parts. And then the students who have academic integrity violations, we also hear those cases. So if you're really interested in, you know, putting down the hammer on the quality students, ours is the place to go. No, they're awesome. Thank you.
Who's next?
Greg.
University Personnel Committee. Greg
Bruce. I am a long time, 1 year veteran of the chair of this committee, so I know it all now. It's probably one of the more obvious committees. I think it's the only committee that didn't change its name when we reorganized a while ago. But I wanted to kind of explain some of these in a little more detail. These are the four most time-consuming things that we do. There's a lot of little procedural things we left out. But for the first one, expectation of faculty workload. An example would be we help review professional development guidelines that come out of the CPCs. For procedures for peer review, we have looked at classroom observation forms revisions to that, and we offer suggestions and improvements. And we spent a lot of time debating whether probationary contracts, if we should stay in the 2-2-2 system or go to 3-3. And that was part of that. Reviewing applications, we spend most of our time doing tenure, 5-year contracts, promotions, and sabbaticals. What's important there to know is what we do not do. We do not do 2-year, and we do not do 7-year at all. Those stay in the CPC. That's not always been clear. And then last year we worked a lot with the provost office on other forums, administrators with faculty rank, trying to get a contract situation for them. And now our new charge is to be reviewing the mentorship program, which came out of suggestions that we came up with. So that's basically the main thing to do. John, did I get this right?
The court is pleased. Thank you so much. Back to me. Look, John Pierce, the chair of the faculty, also has a dual appointment as chair of faculty council and chair of shared governance. So I'm putting together 3 agenda a month, so I'm doing the best I can. This is, I think, an underutilized resource on campus. I've been on it for 4 years now. I'm going to drop down to 1, 2, 3, the 5th one down. Provides private forum for airing of faculty grievances. Some people are very comfortable talking in a university faculty meeting, right? They're very good about sharing their opinions and grievances and so forth. Others are a little more reticent, and I certainly understand that. When I was junior faculty, I talked exactly once at a university faculty meeting and promptly got put on the IRB, and I've been on there since 2003. So, if you have these sorts of concerns, this is what faculty council is here for. You can come talk to us individually. You can send emails, you can pass notes while you walk along campus, you can send smoke signals, talk privately. Tell me about your grievances. Tell any member of faculty council about your grievances, and then we can bring them up. We do have open lines of communication with all faculty, as you see in number 1. We have open lines of communication with administration. I'll meet with the provost twice a month, meet with the president as needed. We can share these concerns. Committee members are Jean Bale, Amy Baker, Jack Carnell, Nancy Howard, myself, and Amanda Cooper, who is an adjunct. Is Amanda here by any chance? I'm not sure she is. So you have different avenues to gain access to us. Express your concerns to us. We will bring them anonymously to faculty council, and if necessary, we can bring them up at a university meeting as well. Speaking of people who aren't reticent about talking, yes, Barbara.
Barbara Kimmelman, CSLA. Where can faculty and staff look up the membership of all of the different standing committees and college committees?
Great question. The answer to that is you can go to the provost's secure site. It's under shared governance, I think, which will list all of the committees and all of the membership of the committees. That's the best place. You can certainly drop an email to me if you need to know about faculty council. I can tell you who your rep is from your college, or just chat with me. I'm happy to do that. Okay. We also run elections, as you see. We are in the process of filling empty positions on all of the standing committees. Those ballots closed yesterday. You should have received those last week. I have not yet got the results. When I do get the results, I will send them out via email right away. On rare occasions, people do receive negative recommendations from the UPC. They can come talk to us. We don't have unilateral power to overturn it, but we can address their concerns and their grievances and so forth. We can also bring that up with administration. We do provide faculty feedback on performances of administrative offices. So I'll go back to the point I made before. It is underutilized. Feel free to contact any one of us if you have a concern that you'd like to see addressed. Oh, sorry.
Catherine Jones, CSLA. With the faculty feedback on administrative offices, we used to fill in evaluations, and I think those were not used. They stopped being used. Is there a formal place for faculty to give feedback, or is it more just informal, coming to talk to you, etc.?
It's a great question, and those of us who've been here a while do remember the surveys we used to get to fill the administrative offices. And there were 2 problems with them. 1, they were very lengthy. And 2, a lot of them were tapping into offices that faculty don't generally have contact with, and so it was tough to evaluate an office you never hear about. I'm going to put it on our agenda for faculty council how best to approach this issue, whether you would prefer an electronic-based survey, as we've done in the past, or whether you'd rather do this individually. So I'll get back to you. It's a great point. Okay, where are we? The special reports. We have one from Tom Schrand, an update on the Hallmarks program.
All right, thanks everybody. I just wanted to take a few minutes to catch you up, catch the whole university community up on some assessment work we did this summer on the Hallmarks program. And for those of you who are brand new here, the Hallmarks program is our strategy for taking three parts of our students' educational experience. The Hallmarks Core, which is our Gen Ed program, their majors, and their co-curricular experiences. And helping students draw connections between those three things using 8 outcomes that we developed together and that we share across these three areas of learning, and an electronic portfolio process that helps students document their learning and post samples of their learning in these 8 different areas. So this May, right after graduation, the day after graduation, we spent 3 days in the DEC building with my colleagues, Chris and Donna from KDEC, Suzanne and Carol from CADE, and Valerie and Stacy from CSHLA. And we were looking at student portfolios. So we took a sample of 25% of all the student portfolios. And I should explain, we're starting the third year of the rollout of the Hallmarks program, which means that the first students to start this program are now becoming juniors. They're juniors as of this fall. So we're looking at the first 2 years of that cohort. We only have that leading class to assess right now. Normally we'd be assessing seniors, but we don't have seniors yet. So we're looking at it, this first cohort, as it moves through the program. So there's 25% that we looked at. This was a sample that was proportional by majors, so we saw them in proportion to their numbers by major. And we also inventoried all of the portfolios of these rising juniors. So we looked at 100% of them to see what was in them, which categories had been fulfilled. We had at least 2 people look at each portfolio. We are assessing this year 2 learning goals. There's 8 altogether. Our assessment cycle has us look at 2 of them each year. So we're looking at contextual understanding, which focuses on communication skills, and global perspectives, which focuses on international knowledge. And we had rubrics as we're looking at these portfolios. So as we went through that 25%, we wanted to make sure that the samples of their work that they posted were relevant to the outcomes that they posted them under. That the reflective essays that they wrote that accompany each sample of their work showed an understanding of the goal that they were linking their work to. We're looking at how deep the reflection was. Was it just a superficial assessment of their learning, or a superficial discussion of how their artifact reflected their learning, or did it go deeper and show a deeper thought? And then we looked at holistically, how does it look like the student is fulfilling the goal based on the evidence in their portfolio? So the results look something like this in those 4 categories. We set a target of a score of 2.5 on a scale of 0 to 4. So they're kind of between basic fulfillment and satisfactory fulfillment. And we hit that goal for everything in contextual understanding. We came a little short on the global perspectives side of things. And as we'll see in a minute, there was less evidence. There were fewer artifacts in the global perspectives categories for us to look at. And again, that's probably reflects the fact that there's still sophomores and rising juniors and aren't through the curriculum yet. So one of the things we found was when we did this a year ago in June 2015, with students who just finished the first year of the program, only 30% had any artifacts at all in their portfolio. So that was a warning sign. This year, we're doing much better. So by the time they become sophomores and rising juniors, we're at 96%. So this means they move through their second touchstone course, the sophomore level course, writing seminar two, where they do some intensive work on their e-portfolios, and that seemed to catch this cohort up in terms of progressing through the portfolio. This first cohort is going to have a bumpy ride because they're the first ones, and you know we're kind of fixing issues as they arrive. So now we have an average of 5.5 artifacts in this cohort. So they're going to have 20 by the time they graduate. So they're on track. We'll probably in subsequent cohorts will be a little further along by this point. One thing we noted is that 31% of these students so far don't have any artifacts from their majors. That's a little concerning, but it kind of reflects the fact that the hallmarks align courses in the majors tend to fall in the second, third, and fourth year with not as many in the first year. So there's some explanation for that. So on average, students had 3.9 artifacts from courses in the Hallmarks core and 1.6 artifacts from courses in their major. So taking this assessment information, moving ahead, closing the loop, continually improving the program, we're going to continue our faculty development efforts, especially focusing on faculty teaching the touchstone courses where students get hands-on attention and help with their e-portfolio. So we did some of that in August. We've sent out a report to every program director summarizing specific information about their students, the students in their program, and their progress through the portfolios. So a program director should have gotten those a couple weeks ago, and I'm available to talk with anybody who wants to about those results and how to address them. We're working on, we're in production with Jeff Newman's video studio on a second introductory video for the Hallmarks program. And this one is going to talk about the outcomes themselves, how we developed them, where they came from, and the kind of collaborative campus-wide process that produced them. And then one of the reasons I'm here today to talk to you and share these results is to promote consistent messaging to our students. And you know the question that seems to come most to students that they want answers to is, you know, why are we doing this? What's the purpose? How is this helping me? And I think there's two things. If I'm asking everybody's help and sending a consistent message, one answer is you're doing this because these outcomes are important. These are outcomes that we, as a community, as faculty, staff, and students, single out as being important to your development as a student and your success as a graduate. The general education aspect that we're focusing on, I think, is what's going to separate our students from being good professionals to being great professionals, from being kind of rank and file members of their profession to being leaders and innovators in their field. So that's why that second video is focusing on how we develop these outcomes, because we want them to know that we saw these as important across all the career fields represented here. And then the second part of that message is, it seems like students are somehow getting the impression that these portfolios are for showing to employers, and I want to make sure that we're consistent that that's not the purpose, or that's not the intention for these portfolios. Our students do have portfolios that they'll use for employment purposes. Our portfolios in the Hallmarks program are more internally focused. They're to help individual students track their progress, to see the different pieces of their education, how they connect to each other, and how they add up. So it's to make students more self-aware so that when they are talking to an employer, they can be very articulate, very specific about what they learned at Philadelphia University, what skills they're bringing, what value they're going to add to the organization they're joining. But the portfolio process is a reflective, kind of an inward-looking process for our students. And I know as when I was an undergraduate, you take a semester's worth of courses, you check them off, and you move on, and you kind of forget that. It's kind of hard work to go back and look, how did I get here, what were the pieces, how do they relate to each other. And it's hard to do, but it's important work, because that's how you understand how you got where you are. And the last thing we're doing is continuing to develop the Hallmarks website. That's a resource for students, it's a resource for us. The videos are there, all kinds of information, curriculum maps for each major showing where the Hallmarks outcomes are being addressed, and a frequently asked questions section. So if there's ever any question the student's asking or you're asking yourself about Hallmarks, check the FAQ section. If the answer's not there, please let me know and I'll put the question up and post an answer to it as well. Thanks, everybody.
Next up is Jeff Ashley, who is giving us an update from the Center for Teaching Innovation and Nexus Learning.
Thanks, Sean. I'm Jeff Ashley. I'm director of the Center for Teaching Innovation and Nexus Learning, and I just want to give you a brief glimpse of the programming that the center has for this fall semester. Just a reminder, like every year, we'll be announcing our Nexus Learning and Nexus Online grants. The due date has changed. It's actually a month earlier, so we're asking that proposals come in by February 3rd. And a new call for proposals and associated rubric for the grading of those proposals will appear on the Center's website and the Provost's website by early October. Things won't change radically, so don't fear anything. To the Center's programming, we have many events. For new faculty, welcome, and this is probably the first time you're seeing this list, so I hope it doesn't freak you out. But this is smeared over the academic year, and it's a chance to get you familiar with each other and familiar with Nexus Learning, both as a pedagogy and as a tech-assisted way that we teach here. So we're going to have these workshops. The culminating experience, I think, is the last workshop, where it's a three-day experience in crafting a teaching portfolio. Many of you, as I look around the room, both new faculty members and more seasoned faculty members, have participated in this workshop, and it's incredibly valuable. Tom spoke of self-reflection processes in our students. This is a self-reflection process on our faculty side, developing these teaching portfolios and also research portfolios as well. So I encourage you, if you don't have to be a new faculty member, if you want to explore that self-reflective process, and by the way, it's great fodder for your dossiers, to check that out, and we'll be offering that again in May. Talking teaching has proven to be a wonderful, very casual, formal, yeah, informal, well, formal maybe when Chris puts on a tie, way of talking about teaching, talking about those issues that are centric to pedagogy, technology, and just academic life. So we've actually expanded this to 2 days per week, and Chris Pastor, who's Nexus Advocate for CDEC, will be heading up the No Agenda Wednesday. This you can, there's no readings, you just come in cold, grab your lunch, he's not supplying it, sit down in the Common Thread fishbowl and chat about anything on your mind that is pretty much centric to academic life. The second one is Topical Thursdays, which Dave Kratzer, our Nexus Advocate for CABE, will head up, and he'll fodder those discussions by very short readings. By the way, just like last semester, I will probably email blast you all on a Sunday night with This Week at CTINL, and that will tell you all the events of that week. Included are these sort of perennial ones, such as the Talking Teaching. Workshops are great, talking teachings are great, but a sustained discussion over pedagogy and technology is, we feel, most effective. So we try to impart this by doing reading and implementation groups. These have been wildly successful from the start when Catherine Jones and Tom Schrantz started the first reading group. And I think we're into our fourth year. I look at Catherine, I think it's been 4 or 5 years since you started that, right? These are not only discussing books over free lunch, but they're actually challenging through discussions and cajoling each other to implement some of these pedagogical strategies. So we actually read, we discuss, and then we go off and we implement those things and come back a week later and discuss it. How'd it go? Great. Not so great. How could it be better? Ways of assessing that. So we have two reading groups this semester. One facilitated by Ann Bauer, who is the CSLOT Nexus Advocate. and she will be heading up the reading of the new science of learning. I can't read from this angle. And again, free lunch book included every Tuesday at that time. If you're interested, just email Ann, or you can email me. Second reading group centers around diversity and social justice issues. We started this last semester. Susan Frostin headed this up. We read Whistling Vivaldi, How Stereotypes Affect Us, looking at microaggressions and stereotyping. This fall, we're going to be reading Raising Race Questions to explore the opportunities and challenges that arise when white teachers are willing to deal directly and honestly with race and how that comes into play in our classrooms, studios, and laboratories. This will take place on Mondays. We'll be starting September 19th. Again, time is there, lunch included, book included, and this will be facilitated by Susan Frostin. You can email Susan, or you can email me if you're interested. These typically, and I don't say this just to convince you to come, sell out. So email quickly, email now if you can, to hold your spot. We typically have around 10 to 16 faculty members in each one of these reading groups. We're extending the share programming again. We have share programming with William Penn Charter across the street. That allows any of our faculty and staff to wander across the street and join in on their programming, which is wonderful. And I've said this before, that I think that the K-12 educators are the ones who are truly educated on pedagogy and really are the movers and shakers in teaching and learning. So we can learn a lot from our colleagues over there. Of course, with the integration on the horizon, we actually are pairing up with TJU to have share program. This is one of the early wins that we suggested. We're going with it. One opportunity here is to explore their website and their workshops. They have a whole host of them. By the way, all this information is on our websites with links to their website, both William Penn and TJU, so you can look at everything. They have a different system for signing up. It's Eventbrite-like, but they allow faculty from Philadelphia University and staff to sign up for their workshops. You can do that by physically getting down there, and that's going to be an issue, or you can extend your thought that you'd like to do this remotely, and we will accommodate that. This is new, and it relies upon you to be successful. Marianne Broidhouse, which is the former director of the center, used to have these open classrooms week where faculty members would extend invitations to other faculty members and staff, open their doors and say, hey, this week you could come on in and see how I move and shape the room, right? But I want to extend this to a longer period of time. So I'm looking for volunteers. If you don't mind people coming in, and this is semi-unannounced because I asked out of respect that if you plan on going to one of these classrooms to visit, that you just send the professor an email. And that allows them to say, bad time, there's a test. How about next week? Okay? But these are people that are willing to open their doors to their classroom. And if you're offering, I just also say, and I know that we teach in very different ways, that if you have this unique or boutique way of teaching, if you do active learning, team-based learning, anything like that, that you sort of give me a laundry list of those things, I'd like to put them up there as well. As well, if you're always interested in peeking inside the Nexus Learning Hubs, this is a good opportunity because some of these faculty members teach in those environments, which are intriguing, fascinating, and wonderful. Can I just, one more? The center also offers some services. These are ongoing services. There are teaching consultations. This is one-on-one consultations where advocates or myself, who have been trained to do this, walk into a classroom after sitting down with you and looking at your materials, and share and create and iterate and discuss what's going on with your teaching. It's all private consultation. I will not, nor will the advocates then write a letter that will go into your dossier. We will summarize things, but it's between you and the consultant. The last thing that I'd like to mention is this new, thanks to the Office of Information Resources, with Sherry Place and May Troy Merritt joining our staff, that we're allowed to do this now, having an instructional design consultation. And again, you can see the list of services that they provide. This is a powerful addition to the center's services. Lastly, as I said, last semester, we finally have a website up and running that will updated constantly updated. But truly, it has all of this information and more with dates and times and a variety of programming and services. Are there any questions, Catherine?
That's Catherine Jones. It was just a comment. If you have someone come to your class, just remember to let the students know that why there's a person in your class, because it can be very off-putting for them if a stranger suddenly shows up and that person's not introduced and they think maybe that person's evaluating them or there's something odd that they don't know about. So I've watched it happen with search committees, that there's like four people in the back, but the person who's teaching the class doesn't say, oh, these people are here because. So that's just something to remember to tell your students.
Thank you, good point.
All right, thank you so much. Our last special report is Dior Witter. Will give us an update on Nexus Maximus 2016.
Thank you. So Nexus Maximus is really coming together, which is a good thing because it's 10 days away. It's September 9th through 12th as a reminder, and thanks to a lot of hard work by a lot of people in this room, especially Mike Leonard, Susan Frostin, Zoe McKinley, Abina Niarco, Lauren Kearney. It's looking to be bigger. This is our third one. We have 48 faculty already involved, which is more than we've ever had. We have students coming from Pace University, Aalto University, Copenhagen Kia, and Johnson & Johnson, once again, is sponsoring it. So if you're interested, talk to me or Susan or Mike. There's also Neil Harner and his students put together a great website, nexusmaximus.com, where there's more information, and it's continually being updated, the schedule and all that. Even if you want to participate, let us know, or if you want to find out more. But even if you can't participate in it formally, there's going to be a wonderful set of workshops on that Friday, September 9th, and Saturday. A lot of it put on by people in this room and also from outside, from J&J, from TJU. And then the finale on the 12th is wonderful, and even if you can't do anything else, if you come to that and see, last year I think we had 33 student teams produce concepts around health innovation, and just really great energy and an embodiment of Nexus learning and a great way to kick off the year. So if you'd like to find out more, let me know. Thank you.
Okay, those were the special reports. We don't have any unfinished business coming over from last year. I have not heard of anybody with new business. Anybody have any announcements to make regarding new business? All right, if not, we'll turn to the report of the President, President Spinelli. I'm so sorry.
I have a little crown envy going on. Is Dr. Bowers here? Because I wanted to get her permission to go to the medicinal plants and see if there were any samples that she might help me with. I want to introduce Henry Humphreys. Henry, I know, is here. Would you stand up, Henry? Henry is our new dream catcher. He's going to deal with all the students. Really a fascinating guy. He's got degrees from Green Mountain College, Columbia University, and Boston College. He's an expert in student life and just spent virtually his entire life in student life, his entire professional life in student life. And I suppose before you were a professional, you were a student. So virtually his entire life. He specializes in both crisis management, student services, FYE, lots of really interesting work in first year experiences, inclusive housing, and gender issues, really a wealth of experiences across lots of different collaborative efforts. His recommendations around his ability to collaborate across disciplines and into the academic life from MIT were really outstanding. I think he is a nearly perfect fit for this institution, both in his preparation and his perspective. He has, I think it's your wife, Pam. It doesn't say wife, it just says, I live with Pam. I'm very sensitized to these kinds of things. And he has three daughters, Aileen, Kathleen, and Elizabeth. And a dog. Quincy, the dog. So, you know, welcome to Philadelphia University, Henry. Great addition. little bit of an integration update. Progress has been really well done on two different levels. I am incredibly proud of the way the faculty has engaged and really explored opportunities to enhance the education of our students writ large. I think you've really led the way in being creative and expansive in your thinking. There is that is happening both in the formal integration committees and in informal but intensive personal interactions that are happening. A lot is progressing. We will publish an early wins report in the next few weeks. Those committees in that integration structure will continue into the foreseeable future around clear points of combination. And I think very soon that will go to a more strategic perspective. So those the steering committee work around integration and around early wins will continue. And for those people who are interested in continuing their work in the integration, we will begin to evolve to a strategic planning process. That'll help us achieve this vision of one transformed university. The legal side of the integration, the pacing variable is Middle States. And I am happy to report that we did receive Middle States accreditation. I think most of you know that, with incredible numbers of accolades around that report. Now the process is that we must go through a complex substantive change. We, meaning TJU and Philadelphia University, are completing our definitive agreement. That will go to our board on September 9th for review. That also will then go to Middle States sometime after that, but I think in October for the document that outlines the process of complex substantive change. And that will take as long as Middle States decides it will take. And they have not revealed that to us yet. And frankly, I don't think they know how long. This is a rare occurrence in higher education. They're learning as we're learning what has to happen and how it needs to be documented. For me, it makes my brain explode, but it's a process we have to go through. Now, I expect that there is no logical reason that they won't approve this complex substantive change. And they have actually done, and again, proud of the administrative side of our house, who TJU and Philly have really worked together in working with Middle States in a really collaborative arrangement. And I think Middle States is coming around to see that this is a sophisticated and important change, and they have become more and more supportive of it. So there's an encouraging process internally, there's an encouraging collaborative processes, and there's encouraging governance and policy and association oversight. So on virtually all vectors, we are marching toward a transformed university. Because we have a board meeting on September 9th, we will also present to the board our final budget for the academic year, as our census, I believe, enrollment census will be completed as of Friday. Is that correct? We'll complete it Friday, and we will have report on Monday, and we will report it to the board on Friday. We will have a salary recommendation to the board on Friday, and based on some of the numbers preliminarily, I am encouraged. How was your summer? This has been maybe the busiest summer I have ever had. And I think the campus looks, and I wish Tom was here, because the amount of change and the period of time and the intensity of that change and the outcomes are absolutely stunning. And I'm just mightily impressed with all of that effort. Again, it's we're living what we teach. Collaboration between fashion and textile people, and Tom's work was seamless. Or at least, maybe to me it was seamless. Maybe to you it wasn't so great, but it was really beautifully executed. Any questions, anybody? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, we have at least two announcements. I will start with Megan Fuller. Here we are. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Science Festival.
Hey, everybody. I'm a fairly new faculty member, but maybe some of you recognize me. I've recently stepped onto the steering committee of the Philadelphia Science Festival, so I'm serving as the liaison between our efforts and then contributing those efforts to the Science Festival. We have in the past had a pretty sizable contribution, I think thanks to Jeff Ashley and his work, and so I hope to pick up the mantle there and continue the record that he set. I'll say that TJU is a huge supporter, both financially and in volunteer hours, of the Science Festival, and they've welcomed us this year to partner with them in any number of ways. If you have been involved in the Science Festival in the past, I encourage you to email me, because I might not be aware of that, and I need to be the one to get you the deadlines and to send the information forward to the steering committee. If you have never been involved in the Science Festival, I still encourage you to email me. I'd love to tell you about all the myriad of ways that you could participate. I will say that I know it feels like that one extra thing. It happens in April, and we're all going to be busy and tired then. But I'd really like to encourage you to think about not what you could do for the Science Festival, but what your students could do. Our students have, it seems, boundless energy. And every time I throw out an idea to them or I say, hey, do you want to do the Science Festival, inevitably I get a very positive and very encouraging response. So don't necessarily think about this as what you need to do, but think about what opportunities can you give your students, and then, you know, feedback to me what they might be interested in doing. I'm always available through email, so please, you know, send me any ideas or questions you might have.
I forgot someone. As you know, Jim Hartman resigned as the CFO in May. Phyllis and Carrie did just a fabulous job stepping up. I don't think they're here. They're working very, very hard. But they did just a fabulous job. But equally impressive was the CFO at Thomas Jefferson, Al Salvato, who came over and has been working with them and spends at least one full day a week here and is 24/7 on the phone with them if they need him. Another beautiful example of integration. We went through a refinancing and some creditor reviews, and it was, and our year-end audit all went flawlessly.
Jesse Schaefer has asked to make a quick announcement as well.
Hi, everyone. I've got a welcome and a thank you. The welcome is to a new member of the Development and Alumni Relations team, Melissa Gronzik. Melissa, will you stand up? Melissa comes to us most recently from the American Friends Service Committee, and before that, several other posts, but before that, Thomas Jefferson University. She is our Director of Alumni Relations and Annual Giving. She was the one that we wanted to recruit, and we were able to do it, so we're glad to have her on board, and I encourage you to work with her on behalf of the university. As for the thank you, I used to do this a lot, and sort of last year got away from it, and for that I apologize, but you know, nobody wants to support this university by making a gift to me or anybody on my team. They want to help our students, and they know that the best way to do that is to support faculty. And you guys are really the product that we have to put out there, and you are, I said this before, I've been here now 6 years and 2 months or so. Every single time I've ever asked, or anybody on my team has asked for help from really busy people, which all of you are, the answer has always come back instantly and affirmatively. And so I just can't thank you enough for that. I want to thank especially Barbara Klinkhammer. And Barbara, so happy to have you back healthy and looking fantastic, as always. Ron Kander, Mike Dreyer, Mike Leonard. Mike, you get the dubious distinction of probably spending more time with development than anybody on campus who's not actually working in development. But you guys are setting a great example for Monica Lamb. Monica, it's a high bar to live up to. faculty, real quick, these are all people who've helped in myriad different ways, but it always involves giving of your time and representing the university impeccably well. I'm just going to read them off real quick. Jeff Ashley, Janet Brady, Marsha Weiss, Kay McGee, Natalie Nixon, Mark Sunderland, Frank Baseman. I'll stop with Frank. I don't know if Frank is here. Some of you may not know. You all know that he was a passionate proponent of getting a scholarship endowed for Dennis Coronin. And with some help from a lot of leadership from Frank and some help from Mary Beth right at the end, we were able to do that. So that scholarship is now finally endowed, which is just terrific. Todd Corlett, Gene Felter, Jeff Clemens, Rob Fleming, Sue Christofferson, Mary Beth, Evan Lane, Phil Russell, and D.R. Witter. D.R., you're sort of with some other folks who are sort of staff. Zoe McKinley, Tom Becker, I know he's not here, Tom Shirley, and Lisa Cooper. But just many thanks. It is absolutely not unnoticed and so greatly appreciated. So thanks a lot.
Any other announcements?
Thank you, John. I wanted to announce two great news items in the College of Architecture and the Built Environment. Our new Master of Architecture program received candidacy status. We received a letter this summer, so we're ready to go and prepare for the accreditation visit, which will happen in the fall of 2018. This is a big step following a visiting team and large reports and an amazing exhibition that Donald Dunham and Jim Durfler and faculty prepared. So thank you, guys. The other item that we have actually had it since the spring, but I don't think I've ever made an announcement. Lucy, our Laboratory for Urban and Social Innovation, is up and running, and it's under the directorship of Kim Douglas, who also runs our landscape architecture program. Kim, are you here? Not sure she's in. But this is a program or a laboratory center that actually works with communities and nonprofits, and we help them with the help of our design students to develop visions for their communities in terms of parks, recreational areas, or new buildings, etc., that they want to build. So this is a great program that we're working with. Thank you.
Thank you. Other announcements?
Hi, I'm Madeline Wilcox, Manager of Study Abroad. Just want to let everyone know that applications for summer of 17, fall of 17, and spring of 18 will open on October 1st. We're already starting with info sessions Thursday during the activity period, September 13th and 23rd. Faculty are welcome to come as well if you want to learn more about the study abroad process. We also have an information session for the National Student Exchange on September 27th. And we're going to have a section there where we actually talk to faculty members too about the National Student Exchange. So you can see all our upcoming sessions on our study abroad website, philu.edu/study abroad. And there's an upcoming events page. And if you would like a classroom visit or would like to schedule an info session for students in your major, please email me at wilcoxm@philu.edu or studyabroad@philu.edu to schedule.
Hi, D.R. Witter, Vice President of Innovation. I just wanted to let people know the next cycle of the Martinson Awards are about to go out. The announcement will be next week. This is the Eileen Martinson 86 Fund. She has contributed so much as chairman of our board, but she also gave a very large gift to directly support Nexus Learning through directly supporting capstone projects for students. So I just ask you to encourage your students to apply because they can get funding to build prototypes, to get research materials, and really make their capstone experience more active, more real world, and more collaborative.
I'm Teresa Edge from Gutman Library, and I just have a couple of welcomes as well and as an announcement. Jade Papa is our new curator of the textile and costume collection, housed at the Design Center. And Damian McCaffrey has joined our professional library staff as our new is our electronic resources librarian and the new liaison to the liberal arts. So if you want instruction for liberal arts type classes, you can contact him or me if you feel more comfortable. Also, thanks to the support of the Provost Office and in response to student and faculty requests, within the next couple of weeks, we are going to begin a one-year pilot of extending the hours of the library until 2 a.m. We'll see. In a couple weeks when we have that staff, we will be open until 2 a.m. Sunday through Thursday, and we are planning on running that through May and taking usage data and that kind of thing and just see how it goes and if it's worth committing to going forward. Thank you.
Hi everyone, just a quick reminder that Starfish is up and running. We ask that you continue to use Starfish to report out any issues that you have with your students so that the proper offices and advisors can follow up with those students to help them be academically successful this year. Also, the students do love receiving kudos, so as much as they frown at flags, they smile at the kudos, so please, any issues you have with Starfish, please let us know over in the Academic Success Center. Also, tutoring has started, so if there's any subject areas that you feel you need some support in your class, please follow up with us, and we hope you have a great semester.
Thanks, Sean. Jeff Siepel, Information Resources. I have an announcement and an introduction. Let me start with the introduction. Mike Fennell, new Director of Technology Support Services. That includes everything that was computing support and the technology help desk, so that's been merged into one unit. And speaking of the technology help desk, we had an announcement last Friday. I think most of you would have seen it perhaps or noticed the fact that we are now offering telephone support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when we close the help desk and there are no attendants on duty or no analysts on duty, it goes to a phone service. And they're very, very good. They're doing other universities in this area. We're fairly pleased with them so far. If you run into some sort of a problem or a glitch or something, please fill out any information that we might send you about feedback on that experience and make a note that this was a call at 3 a.m. or at 6 in the morning and describe the problem you have and we'll get right on it. But they were very, very good. Mike comes to us from the Walnut School down in West Philadelphia where he was, Mike, very aggressively running a support service for the Culinary Institute down there.
That sounds
accurate. Okay. But before that, I had some great experiences in the consulting world, IT consulting world. We're really pleased to have him on board. So thanks, Mike, for being here. And please let us know how you think the 24-hour access is going, especially to Gene. Had you in mind for that? No, program, not you. Other announcements? Anyone? Okay, this was an introductory meeting. We were off our regular schedule, so starting next month, we will return to our usual schedule, which is the third Tuesday of every month. I am trapped back here. September 20th, 12:30, Campbell Performance Space. At that time, we should have, if you have any agenda items, please send them to me so I can get on there. We will not have descriptions of the committees, but we will have different special reports as well. Motion to adjourn? Second? All in favor? Awesome. Thank you all so much. See you next month.